Welcome to Families for Life with Brian and Brian, a podcast of Oak Hill Baptist Church.
On this week's episode, we're talking about spiritual influencers regarding the church.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Brian. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. How about you this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. We've had a busy couple of weeks, and things are going really well, though. We're trying to plan for the fall, whatever that's going to look like.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, in this crazy 2020 year, whatever the fall is going to be, we're trying to get ready for it.
Yeah, we just don't know at this point.
But that's right.
It's in the Lord's hands. As long as we're accomplishing discipleship and evangelism and challenging people to grow in their faith, that's the most important thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So
we want to make a special announcement. In 2 weeks, two episodes, we're going to have a special guest, and I don't want to say who that is yet, but I'm very excited about this. And we're going to kind of sum up and wrap up everything talking about the spiritual influencers and what are some things parents can do to kind of practically kind of bring these things home. And we want to also do a Q&A with our special guests. So if you have questions, it can be anything about parenting or about anything, right?
That's right. And I know what you're thinking, because I did this just the other day when I was listening to a podcast and somebody asked for questions. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to do that. No, bad. Just give us your questions, because you know you have some, and we want to try to answer them. Yes. So go for it.
You can email it to us at bgocher@oakhillbc.org or bvandoren@oakhillbc.org, or you can message us on Facebook or wherever. Send us a note. Give it to us on Sunday. However, if you're emailing, put F4LQMA Q&A in the subject line, so we'll know that's what you're doing.
Families for Life. So yeah, just put that in there, and get us your questions any way possible. We would just love to hear your feedback and just the things that our families are thinking about, you know, the things that maybe we haven't touched on yet, or maybe we have touched on but could say more about.
Sure.
We really want your input from this, because you guys matter.
So today we're talking about really two influencers. We get into the second half of our list, and these influencers are much smaller impact, but I really think they're important. So today we're talking about the church. Number 6 and number 10 both deal with the church. Number 6 is interest level in the church, and number 10 is church attendance. So the numbers tell us a teen that did not want to go to church has a 5% lower spiritual health as a young adult. That really speaks to the importance of the church, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right there, we know just from the data that going to church, not going to church, actually makes a difference in your spiritual walk with the Lord.
Right.
It's not just about getting attendance stickers. It really has to do with your relationship with God.
Yep.
That's important.
Yeah. And it also tells us that a child who was rebellious while growing up has a 3.75 lower spiritual health as a young adult. The one that really surprised me was dealing with church attendance. And it says a drop in frequency of a family that attending a church service while growing up, the young adult will have a corresponding 1.25 drop in spiritual health. So that doesn't seem like a lot, but I do believe it can really add up. That means, so say somebody graduates from high school who's experienced 4 or 5 drops in frequency of church attendance throughout their school years, that could be 5 or 6% lower rate of spiritual health return.
Yeah. So, okay. So I know if I'm struggling to fully understand this, then some of our listeners probably are too. But like, what do you think it means when it says like, you know, a drop in attendance frequency? What is that saying? Is that just,
yeah, I think if you're attending church regularly and you drop out for a period, or you're seeking to change churches or whatever, and just dropping out in the frequency of attending church.
So it's not necessarily like you used to go to church every Sunday, but now you only go every 3 Sundays out of the month. It could be that, but it could also be like you don't go to church for like a month or two,
sure,
here and there. something like that.
Yeah, maybe the kid, your student used to go to youth group and now they don't, you know? Yeah,
okay.
I think it kind of encapsulates all of those things. We're talking gotcha. About frequency.
So it's not just Sunday morning even. It's other things involved as well.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. I think all this data is just telling us how important the church is in our spiritual growth. You know, I don't want to get too bogged down in statistics, but I do know, and we know as pastors, as youth pastors, as people that have seen kids grow up, how important the church is to their spiritual growth. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the biggest answer to that is because the church is God's family, and that is where spiritual things are happening.
Right.
You know, it's the spiritual family of God. And so if we're not spending time in God's family, then we're really missing out on a lot of the biblical things that we can and should be doing as Christians that grow us. That's like saying, you know, if you don't go to the gym, why am I not seeing results?
Right.
But I'm not, you know, well, obviously that's where the weights are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not around the weights and if you're not doing cardio, you're not around the presence of those things, then you're not going to be able to do that.
Right. There's many things the church does, but one of the main things it does is encourage us to godly living, and having that time where we set aside specific time to go be around God's people, to worship God, to hear from God's word, encourages us in our lives. You know, we talked a lot about the institution of the church in an earlier episode, and we talked about how the church and the family partners together. So we don't necessarily want to rehash all that, but I will say that God did create the family and he created the church as two very vital, institutions that help the spiritual growth of kids. And so you really need both of them to help children to grow into full maturity.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I think that a lot of times, again, yeah, we've talked a lot about a lot of this stuff, but it really is important to note that you can't expect a private tutor to come in and make your kid a godly person. It takes the family and it takes the church, and it does take like private, you know, discipleship. It takes some of that stuff too.
Right.
One-on-one discipleship is what I mean.
Right.
Or smaller discipleship groups. But that's in the context of the larger church.
Right.
That's just how that works.
Right.
It's very important. So
let's talk about church attendance a little bit. You know, when I was growing up, you know, the church, the Baptist church that you go to normally has Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, you go for discipleship at 5 p.m. on Sunday before the Sunday evening service. You know, you have your youth group on Wednesday or your prayer meeting or your Awana or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an expectation that people were there all the time. I think though, as parents, if we're not careful, we can make it about perfection or about attending church all of the time. And it can become about the wrong things. Do you sense that or do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's kind of two sides to fall in. You know, there's the side of this perfection that thinks that, you know, if my kid's not in church all the time, then they're going to be, wayward. And so I have to make sure that they're always at church for every little thing. And so that's not what we're really pushing for. We're not pushing, we're not talking about perfection. We're not talking about having, you know, perfect attendance as if that is something godly.
I don't think perfect attendance equals spiritual growth.
Exactly.
But I do think intentional attendance or making church a priority, does immensely impact spiritual growth.
That's right. And I think that's the point. 'Cause on the flip side of things, there's, you know, just acting like, oh, it's not important. You know, it's not that big of a deal because I can, you know, I can read my Bible by myself sort of thing, or I can, you know, love God by myself. And that just disregards what God wants, what the Bible clearly tells us.
Right. Yeah. God has always been about gathering his people there's something about community. There's mm-hmm. something about gathering together to encourage one another, to disciple, to build up the body, to worship God together. I mean, even back in the Old Testament, this was God's design. And so we shouldn't be so quick to, you know, push that off and say, well, because my church isn't perfect, or because my church does this or that, so we just leave the church altogether.
Right. And you that's opposite of what we're talking about. Right. So we're not talking about this perfect attendance as if that's godly. And we're obviously saying that, you know, not attending at all obviously is not godly. So right. there's a middle ground there.
Yeah, it's really scary. Pew Research says that only 35% of American Christians find attending religious services to be an essential part of what it means to be a Christian. That is really scary, because the Bible teaches that.
Yeah,
that being a part of a local body is 100% important.
Right. Yeah. Only 35% of American Christians think that that's an essential part of what it means to be.
Well,
that's,
and Brian, I just read a Barna research report where through this COVID that churches have lost about a third of people just because they're out of the habit of attending. That's so they're not going online. They're not going in person. They've just kind of fallen away completely from the church. How scary is that?
That really, it's scary, but it also just, it hurts. Not because, it doesn't hurt me like something bad is happening to me personally, but it hurts because I know the waywardness that many people are feeling.
Right.
And they might not even know that that's what they're feeling.
And how this will impact their students and their children and their spiritual growth.
That's exactly right. And so we highly encourage you that if you're not able to come physically, please make sure you are engaged digitally somehow. And so that's one of the reasons, you know, why we're doing this,
right?
So that you can still stay engaged, but definitely make sure you're hearing the word of God.
Right. And I know you and I are both engaged in conversations of how can we engage families that are not attending because of health reasons or whatever.
Right.
We want to find ways to engage them online. And so, we're trying to figure that all out as
we go
along.
Part of our fall planning, right? You know, just making sure that that's a possibility if needs be.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's good. But yeah, that's one of the big things about this going, you know, if so many people are not thinking that church is essential, then they're missing out on essential things like serving and exposure to spiritual disciplines and a lot, you know, corporate prayer, hearing the word of God preached. I mean, these are essential things that we are not experiencing.
Right.
And that's damaging to our souls.
Yeah. I mean, I think we really in our families just build an expectation that we are participating in church. There's not a question in my kids' minds what we're doing Sunday morning. Now, I know I'm a pastor, so that's a little bit different. But even when I wasn't a pastor, when I was working, going to school, my wife and I, we never got up Sunday morning and thought, boy, I wonder what we're going to do this morning. You know, we always were intentional about getting to church, making it a priority. So it wasn't something that we saw as a duty. It was something that we saw as, man, we get to engage with God's word today, with God's people. The things of God are real and tangible in our life this morning.
I remember growing up and just, having that mindset of, that was literally couldn't have been a question.
Right.
Just because it was always built in me to know we're going to church. And there were some Sundays, of course, you know, we all struggle where it's like, oh, I don't want to do anything. Right. I don't want to be around anybody, blah, blah, blah. But there were so many most Sundays were me just being excited to go and sing loudly, to the Lord, and to hear something that I needed to hear, and to be around people who I knew loved me, and were going to help me grow, and who I could help grow, in their faith as well. I mean, that I loved that as a student, as a kid, and I mean that's in big churches and in small churches. I mean, one of those was a youth group of like 5 on most Sundays,
right?
so this, it doesn't matter the size of the church or any of that stuff. It's just, it's important that that is expected.
Right.
And that's what I think. I agree. I think families really need to build that into their lives, that that's the expectation every single Sunday.
And I really think there's a difference between going and participating. You know, going,
that's a good point.
Going kind of leads into that perfect attendance where I have to do this. I have to go. But participating is I get to go, I get to participate. So that means you're participating in singing, You're really listening to the sermon and trying to apply it to your life. You're finding ways to serve or engage with the body of Christ. So, well,
and you're a part. You know, when you participate, especially for children and students, especially when you show that you're interested in what's going on and you want to be a part, adults will see that,
right.
Whether they know it or not, they're noticing that you're engaged, and they're going to draw you into that. You get to be a part. I mean, we've got students who are helping out with our online video.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping out with our live streaming,
right.
Because they just show that they want to be a part, and they end up becoming a part. And that builds so much purpose. It helps you see that you matter to mm-hmm. the church,
right.
And students and children need to know that they are the church. They're not the future of the church. They are the church,
right.
Now.
That's true.
And so that just starts with being there.
Right. So the best thing families can do is just make church a priority, make it to something that you commit to. And, you know, once again, dads, you've got to lead out in
this.
Right. And don't just say family, go on to church and you get to watch a ball game on Sunday morning or whatever. Get up, get going, lead your family out to church and make that a priority in your lives.
Yeah.
But even in that, Brian, there are, you know, we talk, mm-hmm. this mostly happens with teenagers. There's rebelliousness. There's teenagers that just don't want to go and engage. So what if they don't want to go to church? What if you do everything right and you still have rebellious children?
Yeah, this is really hard for me, especially the older I get, the more I see it, or I see people who maybe weren't rebellious and then became rebellious. I mean, there's all different ways that this plays out. And, you know, I think putting in this John Piper quote was a really good thing for me to hear.
Right.
And something that I want to hold on to as I raise my children. But he says, even the very best parent in the universe, God himself, has rebellious children. And we see that in Isaiah 1, 2, and 3 clearly. So don't let Satan load you down with faith-destroying guilt greater than you can or should bear.
Mm.
I thought that was just an important thing to remember, that even if you are holding on to all the priorities, you're prioritizing it, you're not being legalistic, you're being faithful, you're not, you know, being careless or any of that stuff. You're doing it the best you possibly can. And you're resting in the gospel. God knows what it's like to have mm-hmm. wayward children.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows what it's like when that happens. And that does happen. That can happen. And that's not something that we should be just terrified of all the mm-hmm. time. That's something that we can take to the Lord in prayer.
Right.
And he will both hear and understand, and he might change.
Right.
He might
right.
change your child's heart.
That's a good. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I think one of the things is trying to understand why. What's the motivation as to why they don't want to go to church?
Yeah.
You know, we wrote a couple things here. You know, for instance, when your kid says, I don't want to go to church, try to press in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get angry. Don't
right.
nag. Don't get legalistic, but just say, listen, what is it that's keeping you from wanting to experience these things? And kids may not have any, feel like they have any friends at church.
That's right.
They may have had a bad experience previously. Maybe just culture has pressed in on them. What they're learning in school, they're just saying, I don't believe that. I don't want that. I don't want Christianity. I mean, there's all kinds of different reasons. Do any of these or any other ones stick out to you?
I know for me, not having friends was a big deal because I just legitimately did not feel like people liked me mm. when I was in a youth group, especially starting out 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And I just remember, this is something I tell students today. My youth pastor was so gracious with me. He listened to me. He heard my complaints, and I was kind of mean. You know, I told him, I said, you know, sometimes I don't want to come cause I don't even want to be around you.
Right.
And, I said that, I was a little 7th grader, and I said that to my youth pastor, and,
he probably wanted to smack you.
You know, he was so great, and he could have, but he was so gracious and kind, but he also was telling me the truth. And he told me, he said, Brian, like, I hear that, and I feel that way sometimes too, but you know, the biggest reason why we don't sometimes have friends, and he was really speaking into my life, is because we're not trying to be friends first. And he was like, sometimes the reason why you don't feel like people love you is because you're not really trying to love them. And I immediately in my mind, I was like, no, like you're wrong. You know, like that's not true. That's you're not hearing me at all.
Yeah.
But it only took, it took some time of me thinking about that. That really kind of hit me.
Right.
But man, after I thought about it, I realized as I paid attention to the way I interact with people, I did not care about what was going on in their life. I only wanted them to care about me.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's happening. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes there's clicks, and there really are things that are problems, and we can deal with that. But we can't know, and we can't really deal with our child's heart if we don't hear it first.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, talk to your teenager and say, hey, let's bring a friend to church with you.
Absolutely.
You know, let's do something like that. Talk to your youth pastor.
Talk to your youth pastor,
and,
please.
say, you know, hey, can you help my child get connected better? Yeah. And I know, like, I'm really proud of our youth group because, I mean, obviously there's going to be closer friendships than other, but they really do try to welcome in new people and make them feel welcome and a part of the group.
Yeah. And part of that's just, you know, like, they're just great kids. They have great families. Right. We have a lot of good stuff. Not everybody comes from the same type of background.
Right.
But some of that's just because, you know, and this isn't me, so it's all the Lord, but it's really, you know, getting bullied and being mistreated growing up. Sure. It's really important to me that we don't have that in our youth group. And so, yeah, like students, parents, if you're listening in, or children, like if you feel this stuff, please know that you can talk to us.
Right.
That's really important to us. We want to know how you're feeling. Right. If there are these reasons, like, please make sure we know. And
yeah,
we're here to help.
Yeah. If you've had a bad experience either at our church or another church,
that's right.
You know, we don't let our children do this in any other setting when it comes to school or many other things.
Sports. Yeah.
Right. If they have a bad experience, you tell them, hey, suck it up and try again, you know? So in church, maybe they had a bad experience one time. Well, let's work through that.
Right.
You know, let's not let that be the defining experience that keeps them from attending church.
Well, and it might be something that you don't just, you know, like, it's not just like, you know, rub some dirt in it and walk it off. It's more of like, okay, let's deal with this and let's handle this appropriately, biblically, with love. And maybe there are some sin that needs to be called out in somebody else's life, but let's make sure we're also looking at, you know, the logs in our own eyes too. All of that has to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it really does make things better.
Right.
So we're here to help, and that's important.
Yeah, let's talk about this last one about culture pressing in on them. You know, I really think of the parable of the sower a lot of times. Jesus warns us in how we listen to what God is saying, to God's word. And there's a couple different reactions that can happen. You know, it talks about how God's word can come, and if we're not careful, we can hear it. And we can get excited about it, but the evil one can come and snatch away that word.
Right.
You know, it also can come into our lives. We can hear it and get joy, but then the root is shallow. We're not pressing into God's word anymore.
Yeah.
And so it dries up and goes away. Or you can have that word be heard, but then the culture and all the things that are going in press in and choke that word out.
Yeah.
And so I think the onus is on what we're hearing and how we're hearing. But as pastors, we got to be careful and know that these things are real in people's lives. And teenagers struggle with this just as much as adults do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the last one you said is really key for students, you know, because the content, the amount of information coming into their lives, into their brains
it's unprecedented.
It is. Yeah. It's unprecedented. It's astronomically greater than it has ever been for human beings ever. And so it's really important to understand that the world has, I don't even know the number. I'm sure there's statistics out there that can tell us how many more times the world is able to put information into your child's brain versus how much they're hearing the word. And so it's important to know that they might be really sincere in their faith, but they also might be hearing, you know, 10 to 20 times more information from the world than they are from God.
Right.
And that really affects how we grow and how we feel about church.
That's exactly right.
So that's just important for all of us. I mean, I have to watch myself, man. You know, we all have to watch this. It's important. So, but you know, one of the other things we just want to make sure it's clear, like parents, we just have to own the responsibility to be in charge of this. You know, while your kid is in your house and growing up under you, you're responsible to do your best, but that gives you freedom. The Lord has given you freedom as the parent. You know, you're the one who gets to make these decisions, and you can do that the way you see fit. We just encourage, don't be legalistic, but don't act like nothing ever matters. And ultimately, just rest in the gospel.
Right.
Because, you know, ultimately, God's the one who's in control. And so if your kid ends up never coming around, and this is something I really want to say, because I have people who experience this, and they have, you know, they raise several children the same way, and they've got some children that are just godly and on fire for the Lord, and other children that are just as wayward as you can imagine. You need to rest in the Lord, because that doesn't mean you're a failure,
right?
That just means that God has a different plan than what we want all the time,
right?
And it's a good plan. It's okay.
That's right.
It's hard, but it's good.
Well, and know that the church is here to partner and help you.
Yeah,
that's, you know, we are wanting to help you disciple your children and partner with you in that. And so that's what we're here for. So let's talk about how parents can encourage students and children to make their faith their own. I think the biggest thing that as to why kids do not stay with it is because their faith is actually wrapped up in their parents' faith.
Yeah.
And that never becomes their own faith that they have bought into and see and feel as important to them. It's always, well, that was what my parents believed. That was what they thought. Mm. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
So how do we transfer our faith to our children?
Yeah, well, I mean, you really wrote this down, you know, honestly. So like the gospel transformation, not behavior modification. So can you tell me kind of when you think of the difference between having real gospel faith versus just behavior modification, right? What does that mean? What's the difference?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is in the motivation. You know, what do we want our children to do? If we want them to be perfect and never, you know, act perfect in the world, when people see them, we never want them to act up, or we never want them to do anything wrong. That's behavior modification.
Yeah,
we're just trying to get them to say, okay, I know when I go into this situation, I know how to act, but I don't really agree with that. I don't really feel that in my life.
Yeah.
Gospel transformation says we look deeper into our child. We know that they are sinners. And we know that the only way to be transformed is a submissiveness to Christ. So I know my children are not perfect. I know they're going to mess up. I'm seeking to encourage them and challenge them to grow in their faith and trust the Lord.
Yeah.
So don't trust in me and how I want you to act.
Right.
Look to God. And a lot of this happens when, we've talked about this before, when parents are honest about their own failings.
That's right.
To say, I'm not perfect. I'm relying on Jesus just as much as you are to be transformed in the power of the gospel.
Well, I think also on top of that is just recognizing that while you have a responsibility in your child's life, you're also not your child's God. Mm-hmm. You know, like God is their God, and He is the one who has a plan for their life.
Right.
A plan to prosper them and not to harm them. Like, you might have thoughts and plans about and aspirations for what you want your kid to be, but like God's plan trumps your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're raising our kids for God's plan and in the gospel, that is way more effective than raising our kids for our plans.
Right.
And our desires. So that's really idolatry,
right,
when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important, but we also have to make sure that in that our children know the Bible.
Right.
And we've talked a lot about this,
but I just don't want to pass by this without saying God's word has to be a priority if our children are going to grow in their faith.
Yes, absolutely. That's like saying, you know, if my kid wants to play baseball, then they got to learn how to throw a ball.
Right.
Like that has to happen. You have to throw all the time,
right?
You know, all the time. You have to read the Bible. It has to be a part of your life, starting really young and growing up. I really like this part though, where we're talking about biblical theology and apologetics.
Uh-huh.
That's just understanding the point of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I didn't realize a lot of the story arc of the Bible. Mm-hmm. I knew the stories. I knew a lot of the details, a lot growing up, but I didn't understand how it all connected and how Jesus is at the center of it all.
Right.
I really didn't catch that. And I also had a lot of questions that I didn't really get answered until later on. Mm-hmm. What do you think? How can parents help children know this stuff?
Yeah, I think for a long time we want to make the Bible really simple and really just say, let's boil it down to these sort of talking points or these mm-hmm. verses. And I think it's so much bigger than that. I do think we need to come to what is our theology, but theology is very robust and can be complicated.
Right.
And that's okay. We don't need to run away from that. We need to lean into that and challenge especially our students to know, what do you believe about this?
Yep.
You know, what do you believe about salvation?
Yep.
You know, not just John 3:16, but let's develop an entire theology of what salvation looks like and how that applies to your life. Because I don't know about you. I probably had a similar experience to you growing up. When I finally understood a biblical theology of salvation, it clicked. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yep. It just all gets put together because the story, you start to see the whole story.
Right.
And so, but yeah, I mean, I just want to touch on what you said about just kind of pressing into some of the deeper and even harder things. I remember I was talking to a student some years ago, and I just kind of wanted to see how they would interact with something that I had been learning. And so I mentioned a word. It's called eisegesis.
Okay.
And it's like a big, like nobody knows this, you know, unless you're studying in seminary. And this kid, he heard that word, and I explained what it meant. It's, you know, reading meaning uh-huh. into the Bible. And he has never forgotten that.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think he was like 14. He was like a freshman. Mm-hmm. And he would bring that up multiple times.
Right.
And he even would start applying it. And I was like, wow, I was kind of just messing around.
Right.
And he got it. So we don't need to think that kids are stupid.
You
know,
I think youth ministry were guilty of not challenging the kids enough with biblical theology and apologetics,
right.
meaning that's defending the faith.
Right.
And that is needed now more than ever.
Yeah.
What do we believe about the Bible? And then how do we defend that?
Yep.
Again, not coming to like a list of talking points that they can say to their friends or to their professor
exactly.
or whatever, but coming to a place where they can have a real honest discussion about what they believe.
I remember just having conversations with close family members and parents. I really think this is something that we can do is, you know, depending on your child's age, you ask them questions about some of the things that you've been teaching them. And then you just kind of start poking holes in it a little mm-hmm. bit.
Right.
You start playing a little bit of devil's advocate with them just to kind of get them to really start thinking about it instead of just taking your word for it. And so now, instead of believing you, they start to wrestle with this and start believing God.
Right.
I think that's important. And that was helpful for me when honestly, like, you know, professors and other people who believed exactly what I believe started poking some serious holes
right.
in what I had been taught. And then they started answering the questions
right.
for me.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to do. Poke some holes in there in what they believe. Like, you really believe that we're going to die, but then come back to life.
Right.
You understand that that's crazy, right? Right?
We
should believe that.
We
yeah,
should not be afraid
exactly.
to wrestle with these topics, you know, because some of these things, the easiest one that I can pull up is like creationism.
Yeah.
You know, that is thought to be a joke.
Right.
And, you know, evolution, the theory of evolution is now the fact of evolution
right.
in our schools, in our culture.
In our, yeah.
So
museums.
I want my kids to wrestle with why they believe creationism, because they will come to a deeper and greater understanding that they will own themselves.
That's exactly right.
You know,
it's their own faith, not your faith,
right.
you know, imprinted on them. That's what we're talking about.
Right. Right.
That's good.
So let's move to seeing the value of church. Okay. So provided that our children can make their faith their own, they can do these types of things, church is going to become valuable to them.
That's
but
right.
I think it's all in how we see church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's how we perceive it. If we look at church as just another thing that we do, kind of like a club,
right?
Something we're a part of, something that, we fill our time with. We're not going to see the value of it.
Yeah. Well, there's better clubs out there. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like if like go join a golf course or, you know, or something like that, a YMCA.
At least they have a pool, right?
Exactly. Right. I mean, we could maybe build a, no, I'm just kidding.
But
we
church is something more than that. It's something, exactly. It's bigger than one person. It's not something that we just do, right?
Yeah, that, exactly. It's something like a lot of times I hear, you know, people think about church as just a way to have socialization, as if it's only about just hanging out, which fellowship is a big deal. It's really important, but that's not the starting point. It's actually the byproduct. Socialization, the fellowship that we have with one another, is a byproduct of our worship for the Lord. It, you know, the gospel and worshiping the Lord through Jesus Christ produces love for one another. It produces something that is better than other clubs.
Right.
Because, you know, golf isn't what keeps us united, whereas that's a good thing. I get that.
Right.
But, like, we have a much tighter bond.
Right.
This is a family.
And I think we got to convey that to our children, our students, to know there is real true value for my life,
yeah,
for my spiritual growth, for everything found in the church. And so I think that if we can get them to understand this is not just something we do, this is not just something we're kind of like fitting into our life, but we're prioritizing this because of the value that it brings, and the hope and the help and all of the things, the discipleship, the worship, you know, everything that it does in our life, in our spiritual life, is good and valuable to us.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, that it's kind of part of the way you think about it is like, that's why we're called Families for Life. And our church, you know, we really emphasize being a family for life. You know, it's because think about growing up, like, you know, however good or bad your parents were, they were your parents,
right?
And that unified you and your siblings. Even if you hated them,
right,
you still were unified to some degree because you are a part of the same family, unified by the same,
right,
you know, parentage somehow. And we are unified by the same father, the same older brother, and the same Holy Spirit. Like every church around the world is unified in,
right,
that,
mm-hmm,
to some degree.
That's,
we have differences. Yeah. Yep. But that's a big deal. We can't take this lightly and think that we're just like the YMCA or,
well,
just like something
the,
else
the,
like that.
There's the local church, which is the small C.
Exactly.
But then there's the big church, the big C, which is all the believers,
right,
throughout all of time. Think,
that's
about,
right,
that.
All of time.
We,
yeah,
are a part of a special group of people that,
yeah,
encompasses Martin Luther and,
yeah,
Paul and all of the great people of the faith,
yeah,
we are included in that same group.
That's right. Those are our spiritual siblings.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool.
So, Brian, you had some really great points to kind of sum this up. What do you want to...
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, we want to think about our priorities. We want to think about our lifestyles. And we want to think about our prayers. Mm-hmm. You know, first, meeting with God's family regularly to worship him and edify each other needs to be our priority. We've said this, but that's just kind of the main thing. That needs to be our heart's desire. Mm. And then our lifestyles, the way we live this out, we need to be building a love for God's people through example. If we as parents are not doing this, then our kids definitely won't. And so we need to be living this out in our own lives. Do you love church?
Right.
And I'm not saying, do you always enjoy going to church? No, but like, do you love your church family? Are,
right,
you invested? Are you participating?
Well, we should love church because we love God.
Exactly.
The church is the bride of Christ.
That's right.
And so we love Jesus. We are to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Why would we not love the bride of Christ?
That's right. If somebody loves me and is friends with me but hates my wife, we're not going to be friends for,
right,
very long.
Sorry. That's right.
And
your kids will see that in you. If there's a genuine love and desire to engage and participate in the church, your children will see that.
They will. And then it'll become their own.
Right.
They'll do the same thing. And then finally, and this is really important, parent, we all of us, I need to do this, you know, just starting out with young children, you know, maybe you have older and grown children, but rest in Christ. rest in Christ. He is the one who produces the results. As Brian, as you were talking about, you know, just we're planting the seeds and our children are listening and, you know, God is the one who causes the growth.
That's right.
We have to rest in that. So that's pretty much, I think, it. What do you think, Brian? Anything
to
add?
Yeah, I just want people to really see the value of church and to engage. And it's for no other reason than to encourage and grow in your spiritual walk. I think that it takes both godly families and godly churches to help children to grow into spiritual adults.
Yeah, that's big. Well, guys, we're in this together. We are a family in Christ, whether right. you're hearing this and you're a part of our local church or you've never met us before and you're a believer. We love you guys, and we're siblings in Christ, and we're here for you.
Yep. Reach out to us.
Yeah.
So, hey, specifically send us your questions.
That's right.
We can't wait. Yep. We're so excited with our special guest coming up. That'll be in 2 weeks. So next week will be our last episode dealing with the spiritual influencers.
Yep.
And then we'll sum it up the week after that. And then we'll do something different.
Something new. Yeah. Different.
Yeah.
We know what it is. I promise.
We've got a couple ideas.
We do.
Well, I think that's all we got.
I think that's it. We will see
you next time. Melba toast is?
I do not. I've never heard those words.
It's that little...
Not even toast.
It's like the little bitty, like, cracker toast.
No.
It looks like toast, but it's like crackers.
No. I probably have. I guess I do know what you're talking about, but...
Melba toast.
I've never heard it that before.
Okay.
Right. No, sourdough.
You had sourdough?
Sourdough toast. Mm. It's much better.
Sourdough.
It was really good.